Boeing posts big financials but makes no new promises for the Dreamliner. NTSB gets an earful from Silver State Mechanics. And DOT prepares to release airline performance numbers for 2007. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 31st, 2008. Boeing held a much-anticipated conference call with investors on Wednesday and announced not only an 84% increase in 2007 net income, but expectations that 2008 will be even better. Boeing Chairman, President, and CEO Jim McNerney told participants, quote, "Our 2007 results demonstrate the kind of quality financial performance we can achieve through our simultaneous focus on growth and productivity. We added substantial backlog, made major efficiency gains, and executed well on our production and services programs. Despite some development program challenges, we are a strong company growing stronger, and we expect continued improvement in our financial results in 2008 and beyond," unquote. The mention of development challenges that just went whizzing by refers to the 787 Dreamliner program. Investors did not get the ironclad timetable guarantee that some analysts said was needed from McNerney, but he did follow up, quote, "I'm more involved now. Part of my job is to get involved when help is needed, and that's been the case with the 787 over the past 2 months," unquote. He also promised more discussion of the 787 production and delivery schedule in a conference call which will follow release of the company's 2008 first quarter financial results. In an updated factual report, the National Transportation Safety Board says poorly coordinated maintenance practices by overworked personnel may have contributed to the fatal crash of a Robinson R-44 near Jacksonville, Florida last March. As ANN reported, the Silver State helicopter's trainer landed nose down on Ponte Vedra Beach, killing a student and an instructor. In its preliminary report, NTSB noted the helicopter had just come out of maintenance and was missing attachment hardware in its control system. The Florida Times-Union reports the NTSB got some blunt analysis of the mistake from mechanics, who described being assigned to multiple tasks simultaneously, leading to a distracting environment. The lead mechanic took the somewhat unusual step of making 3 recommendations to the NTSB to prevent future accidents. Those measures include having at least 2 permanent mechanics at each site, allowing one to act as quality control to the other, providing additional maintenance personnel when additional aircraft are scheduled at a location, and setting mandatory showtimes for salaried personnel. Silver State Helicopters was formed in 1999 in Nevada and has since grown its operation to several states. The company focuses on flight training, but also conducts air tours and charters. The company has faced several lawsuits over the years, including one in November of 2006 over its claim that students could earn a rotary wing certificate in 12 to 18 months, then get a job as an instructor. Plaintiffs said the company couldn't keep its end of the bargain due to a lack of qualified instructors and a lack of aircraft. The U.S. Department of Transportation is set next week to release statistics on airline performance during 2007. It's not clear if weather-related disruptions during the holidays will pull 2007 down to be the worst on-time performance in recorded history, or whether adjustments made by DOT and the airlines in December will avoid that title. To be fair, on-time statistics have only been kept by DOT since 1995. The worst year on record so far is 2000, when U.S. Airlines completed 73.5% of flights on time. Through November of 2007, for the year, airlines were just above that at 74.23%. While we're waiting for the government numbers, FlightStats.com is already out with its analysis of December. While the formula used to calculate performance varies a little from DOT's, FlightStats says just under 64% of flights were on time in December. The company tells MSNBC that among the worst offenders for the month were American Airlines at 58.6%, United at 55.18%, and Midwest Air, which arrived on time just 41.25% of the time. It's going to be difficult to make predictions for 2008 in apples-to-apples terms. Much will change. Airline mergers appear imminent. DOT plans to cap flights at JFK starting in March. Caps may also come to Newark, and caps may be removed at Chicago O'Hare. We don't know yet. It's also unknown what effect DOT's congestion pricing initiative will have on delays, and a significant economic downturn could reduce passenger traffic. New runways are scheduled to open at some of the nation's busiest airports during 2008, including Washington Dulles, O'Hare, and Seattle Tacoma. NASA reports successful completion of a spacewalk to repair a malfunctioning solar array on the International Space Station. Early Wednesday afternoon, Expedition 16 Commander Peggy Whitson and Flight Engineer Dan Tenney finished a 7-hour, 10-minute spacewalk, during which they removed and replaced a bearing motor roll ring module that experienced electrical failure December 8th. The repair restores the solar array's ability to track the sun, greatly increasing efficiency. Mission managers confirmed that the station's right-side solar power module is now generating enough power to support the planned deliveries of the Japanese Kibo science module to the station in March and April. Up next on ANN, Eclipse gets FAA approval for its training program. Virgin Galactic plans a big splash at Oshkosh. And AirTran sees a silver lining in a Delta-Northwest merger. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 31st, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. The pieces are all starting to come together for Eclipse Aviation. After putting 2007's doubts and tough headlines behind it, the company opened 2008 with announcement of a major infusion of capital and a deal to add an assembly operation in Russia. On Tuesday, Eclipse announced the FAA has awarded the plane maker's training provider, Higher Power Aviation, authorization to conduct Eclipse 500 type training under HPA's Part 142 training certificate. The FAA evaluated the curriculum and analyzed how Eclipse will use its simulator to train and type rate customer pilots prior to an aircraft delivery. The authorization enables the company to type rate customers in a Level D full motion simulator before they take delivery of their planes, instead of waiting to use the customer's completed aircraft for training. The milestone marks the FAA's final approval of Eclipse's training program, and comes just shy of 11 months after Eclipse announced the termination of its original training contract with United Airlines, and 2 weeks after the FAA certified Eclipse's first flight simulator as a Level D full motion device. Eclipse President and CEO Vern Rayburn commented, quote, "Using a simulator for a customer's entire type rating means we no longer have to schedule training around aircraft availability or weather conditions. We also will bring two additional Level D simulators online very soon, and all will be operated about 20 hours per day, 7 days a week. This additional simulator capacity will enable us to move customers through our type rating program faster and also allow the start of recurrent flight training for our customers who have been operating their Eclipse 500s for a year," unquote. Eclipse says the first class of customer pilots began their flight training in the Level D simulator this week, and subsequent classes will begin every 2 weeks. By this April, Eclipse hopes to train and type rate 60 customers per month. If you were still debating whether you'd go to EAA AirVenture this year, we're about to push you over the edge. Virgin Galactic confirms it will display its large, detailed models of Spaceship Two and White Knight Two at Oshkosh this summer, adjacent to Aeroshell Square at Whitman Regional Airport. The models were used in Virgin's press unveiling last week and will be augmented by several presentations from the Virgin Galactic team. Adam Smith, the Experimental Aircraft Association's Vice President of Membership Services, recalled, quote, "The excitement when Spaceship Two and White Knight Two designs were made public was electric. It's thrilling to know that EAA AirVenture has played a part in the timeline that led us to this new horizon of space travel. And equally thrilling to know that Virgin Galactic will be back at Oshkosh this summer to tell even more of the story, unquote. AirVenture happens this year, July 28th through August 3rd. Reuters reports that the fatal crash of a CASA C-295M troop transport in Poland earlier this month has spooked the Defense Ministry of Slovenia into reversing its plans to purchase the type. The Polish plane, carrying 16 members of the country's armed forces and four crew members, was coming back, ironically, from a flight to a safety conference. The plane went down in a heavily forested area in northwestern Poland on January 23rd. The plane was on approach to land at an airbase near Mirosławiec, and so far is thought to have clipped trees on the way down. All on board the twin turboprop were lost. That accident was the C-295M's first fatal crash in its 10-year history, and so far there's no indication it had anything to do with a shortcoming in the design. Nevertheless, the Slovenia Defense Ministry said in announcing the cancellation, quote, "The security of Slovenian soldiers and military personnel is at the top of our standards. Under the circumstances, the ministry decided to stop the process of a purchase of a tactical transport plane for the army," unquote. The C-295 is manufactured in Spain by Eads Casa. As ANN reported, the type was also one of the contenders for the U.S. military's joint cargo aircraft program. That role was eventually filled by the C-27J Spartan. Analysts have predicted that the supposedly imminent merger between Delta Airlines and Northwest would create a game-changing super-competitor. But at least one airline sees a possible silver lining. AirTran Airways CEO Bob Fornaro said a Delta-Northwest union could free up gates at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, the main hub for both Delta and AirTran. Fornaro told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, quote, "We would try to make the case that we should get those gates," unquote. AirTran is based in Orlando, Florida, but its operations center around Atlanta. The comments came on Tuesday as AirTran reported a fourth quarter loss of $2.2 million, blamed on skyrocketing fuel prices. Still ahead, the Legend Cub adds upscale options. Cape Canaveral is named an historic aerospace site. And Boeing is putting together the first 777 freighter. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 31st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. It looks like a cub, flies like a cub, even sounds like a cub. So what's with the leather seats and glass panel? American Legend Aircraft Company this week announced an expanded array of optional equipment available for the Legend Cub light sport aircraft. The plane appeals to pilots seeking stick and rudder enjoyment, but without roughing it. Two new safety options on the Legend Cub are a dual wing-mounted pulse landing light system and an airbag seatbelt system by AmSafe, for which testing and ASTM approval have been completed. As ANN reported last year, Texas-based American Legend offers its Cub with a TrueTrack ADI Pilot 2 autopilot, an Artificial Horizon, Garmin navigation and communications with TIS traffic, Dynan glass cockpit, and choices of intercom, transponder, and radio. Now how much would you pay? But wait, there's more! You can get the Legend Cub on skis, designed to allow taking off, landing, and taxiing on snow, ice, grass, and even hard-surfaced runways without a need to change. The Legend Float Cub provides year-round enjoyment for fans of water flying. Additional options include choice of traditional or new UHF digital ELT, either Continental or Jabiru power, and propellers made of wood, metal, or composite. You can get the plane in traditional yellow with black lightning bolt stripe, PA-11-style two-tone, and even L-4-style military paint schemes. Color, numbering, and marking options can be incorporated into a customer aircraft to suit individual wishes. Comfort options on the Legend Cub include leather interior, cabin lighting choices, vented windows, and even XM satellite radio. Oh, this just in, Model T replicas to feature cruise, tilt, and air. Okay, I made that part up. The American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics is set to designate Cape Canaveral Air Force Station an historic aerospace site during a ceremony today, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the launch of America's first satellite, Explorer 1. An historic marker will be unveiled at the Air Force Space and Missile Museum, which is located at Complex 26. That's the actual site of the Explorer 1 launch. Among those slated to participate in the ceremony are Air Force Brigadier General Susan Helms, commander of the 45th Space Wing, and former 45th Space Wing commander, Air Force Major General retired Robert Dickman, AIAA's executive director. More than 50 veterans of the Explorer 1 program are also expected to attend. It's hard to imagine this now, but Cape Canaveral Air Force Station has supported more than 3,000 launches on the Air Force's Eastern Range, including manned and robotic missions and national security operations. Among the other sites recognized by the AIAA History Technical Committee are the original Bendix Aviation Company in Teterboro, New Jersey, the Boeing Red Barn in Seattle, Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, the site of the first balloon launch in Annonay, France, and Tranquility Base on the Moon. Boeing mechanics began major assembly of the new 777 freighter at the company's Everett, Washington facility on Tuesday, as workers loaded the plane's 97-foot-long wing spar into a tool that automatically drills, measures, and installs more than 5,000 fasteners. Boeing expects the first 777 freighter to be delivered to launch customer Air France this fall. Kim Pastega, deputy program manager and engineering leader for the 777 freighter program, commented, quote, "Our vision to develop the 777 freighter as the world's most capable twin-engine cargo airplane is now becoming a reality with the start of major assembly. Our customers and suppliers worked closely with us to reach this important milestone," unquote. To date, Boeing has sold 80 of its 777 freighters to 11 customers. And finally, an element of German society has always embraced nudity, or free body culture as it's called. Germans are enthusiastic patrons of nude beaches and hotels across Europe. Now, they won't even have to wait till they get off the plane to take it all off. Reuters reports that travel agency OseeUrlaub.de will start taking bookings tomorrow for a trial nudist day trip from the eastern German town of Erfurt to the popular Baltic Sea resort of Usedom. The trip is planned for July 5th, and a ticket costs €499. That's about $739 U.S. The agency's managing director, Enrico Hess, acknowledged to Reuters that price is steep, but blamed it on the small plane chosen for the market test. The aircraft type is not specified on the agency's website, but there are only 55 seats available. Passengers will have to be clothed only when they board and deplane. The flight crew, for safety reasons, will remain dressed throughout the flight. Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. For your safety and comfort, please be very, very careful with the buckle. You know, personally, I wish them well, and I hope they'll let passengers carry towels through security. And thank you very much, but I think I'd prefer to keep the armrest down. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's a time capsule containing comments a year ago from Vern Rayburn of Eclipse Aviation. We'll revisit the reasons for the company's tough decision last year to start over on the Avio integrated flight deck, resulting in Avio NG, which is now certified and in production. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.